I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's the year of absolute BB.
And we're back. Alt in Our Stars podcast time. This week's episode is with special guest Ra Ra Riot. It's Wes, the frontman of the band Reppin' the Crew here in New York. He's doing some press for the new album, which comes out February 19th. You should check it out. Need Your Light, Ra Ra Riot's new record. A lot of interesting, fun, dancey vibes on there. And I had a really good time talking with Wes here. We're both from New Jersey. We both grew up there, so we had some common threads woven through this conversation, some Jersey topics to talk about. And really, on that note, I found it really interesting how certain friendships and collaborations that happened early in Wes's life, high school, college, have carried through and are really present on how this new album came out. So really interesting time in Wes's life. Fourth album coming out. He got engaged not too long ago. Talked about a collaboration with Rostam, who previously was in Vampire Weekend. He was in the band Discovery with him. Wes was. He had a big hand in helping produce this album. Ra 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 used a bunch of different producers, and I really think it made an interesting record. It was really interesting talking to Wes about how it all came together. And I think you guys will enjoy this one. So if you enjoy this, I urge you. It sounded kind of forceful. I hope that you, if you enjoy this podcast, you'll dig into the archives. We have all the podcasts from the beginning that we've done for Alt in Our Stars. If you go to iTunes, search for Alt in Our Stars, or just click the iTunes link towards the bottom of the story. If you're viewing this on billboard.com, we had his buddy Bayo from Vampire Weekend on the podcast. Earlier this year, we had Panic at the Disco on the podcast. Last week, we had Borns on the podcast. All sorts of fun stuff to dig into there. You can also subscribe to the podcast, give us a star rating. Super helpful. But yeah, first things first, this week's podcast, Ra 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 at Alt in Our Stars. Enjoy. Yeah, so here with Wes from Ra Ra Riot.
Hey, how's it going?
It's doing all right. Watch for those waters, they're tricky.
Yeah.
So we're talking new album coming out in New York today, making the rounds.
Yeah.
And it's fourth Ra Ra Riot album.
That's right. Yeah.
So this is, I guess, fourth time around you're experience with doing the album cycle. There's mm-hmm. no like debut album or sophomore album. It's probably kind of less sexy, the fourth album.
Yeah.
What's this process like for you now?
Yeah, there's less of a pre-made like story, you know. The debut is obvious, and then the sophomore slump, and then the reinvention, and then the fourth is a couple different directions. But yeah, it's been good so far. It was kind of like a long process making this record. We were super burned out at the end of the tour cycle for Beta Love and kind of decided that we wanted to take a lot of time off. But it turned out that just kind of convincing everyone that we wanted to take time off and that we weren't going to rush into making another record was enough space psychologically to start working like basically right away again. So that was like a pleasant surprise of 2014 and the beginning of what would be Need Your Light.
It seems like no one in the band lives in Syracuse anymore, or has for a while.
Yeah.
It was just, so it was college and you dispersed.
Yeah. We all met there and just went to school there. Milo, our guitar player, lived, he grew up in Geneva, New York, which is sort of close, but not really. It's like Finger Lakes region. But for most of us, we were going to graduate and just were trying to find something to do with our free time. And everyone basically knew Milo, and he was the starting point. He was the central figure in forming the band. And then it kind of just took off from there. So,
and I've heard it was a lot of the music was played to play for people at parties.
Yeah.
Party songs.
Yeah. We actually had a show booked before our first practice. Because I think some other band was coming up and they wanted an opener, and we threw our name into the hat and somehow got it. And it was almost all house parties that we played from the first show to the next maybe 4 months or something. It was all house parties, mostly on the weekends, but there are a couple scary moments where, like, if it wasn't in a basement, it'd be in an attic, and there's kind of like all these the off-campus student housing at Syracuse is kind of questionable. So like, we'd be in this attic and playing this super loud dancey music, and people would be jumping up and down. You could feel the floorboards and the whole floor kind of bending to the beat, which was fun but also kind of scary and maybe stupid in retrospect, but so fun, and definitely had a major impact on how we played and what we wanted to play and who we became as a band.
Yeah, was anything from the Rumline songs that were being played in those parties?
Oh yeah. The first, I think we made like a 3-song demo after just being together for like a month or two, and on it, Dying Is Fine was on it, and so is Can You Tell, which were both on the Rumline, but I don't remember what the third song was. I think it probably was also on the Rumline. But yeah, most of the songs that ended up being on the Rumline were, at least half of them were from those days.
And it's interesting that they were such dance jams to the people who went there, because a lot of those are very sad songs.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like a just about dancing. They're definitely not just dance songs, but I think, yeah, we wanted to make people move, but I think also I wanted to have lyrics that weren't just, you know, superficial or, you know, just, I was just a kid, so trying to figure out what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
But, yeah, those are the days.
So it sounds like, just given the whole band, it's what, 5 people at this point?
Yeah. Yeah, 5 permanent members, 4 of which are original members. And, we have a steady cellist now, but, still sort of like a hired gun type member.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so steady cellist.
Yeah.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah, steady cellist. Very steady. Very solid.
Keep that low end down.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, we were saying, with kind of chilling everybody out, relaxing everyone.
Yeah.
Getting, and that surprisingly got you guys more in line to start working on the new album, you were saying.
Yeah, yeah. I think, like, we just kind of ended up together. I think some of the members were moving out of the city, like Milo, our guitar player, was moving to Milwaukee, and Rebecca, our violinist, moved to Seattle. But we kind of ended up together back in the city in the summer of like a year and a half ago, and just really we're really excited to keep working. So it was fun, you know. It was like a low pressure situation. We took the time to explore all the things we wanted to, and that was really fruitful.
Mm-hmm. So, are you? What city is? Are like? Are you and like the band based in now? Where do you live?
Well, I live in Brooklyn. Kenny, our drummer, lives in Brooklyn. Our cellist that we spoke of before lives in Manhattan, but everyone else lives kind of out of the city now. So New York is still like our major hub. We have a practice space here still, but Becca lives in Seattle, Milo in Milwaukee, Matthew upstate. So we kind of have more logistical things to juggle, but we kind of also part of taking some time, or at least mental space, after Beta Love was deciding that, you know, we were going to let people rediscover what it's like to have a personal life outside of the band. So, you know, two of us are engaged now, and, you know, finding new places to live was part of that. And that also kind of helped us feel excitement getting back together, because, you know, what we knew it wasn't the only thing we could do. We just got back together when we were looking forward to it, as opposed to, you know, like, oh, life outside the band is kind of meaningless, so we need to make more music. It wasn't like that. So
yeah. Were you one of the two people who got engaged?
Yes.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah,
thank you.
When was that?
That was like a year and a half ago.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like about that.
So it sounds like it coincides with around the time you wrapped up touring for Beta Love.
It was less than a year after Beta Love tour was totally done.
So yeah, the band seems like they've settled in. It seems like, just in general, the continuity of the band, you did a lot of work to make sure things could be kept copacetic, that everyone could be happy with their lives, keep things running smoothly.
Yeah, definitely. That was important, especially after a grueling year like 2013 was. And yeah, it definitely made us feel stronger as a group and as individuals. And some of those things kind of crept their way into the making of the record. The themes of, you know, kind of getting older and feeling like, well, searching for relevance in your life and in the universe, sort of had a big role in what Need Your Light became.
Yeah, it makes me think, like, the lyrics for Is Absolutely or Absolutely Nothing.
Absolutely, that's a lyric. Yeah, uh-huh. Nothing does follow that in the song at one point.
Yeah, so it's like, because I was thinking that the lyrics of that song, we'll play a little bit so people listening know what we're talking about, but it sounds like it's sort of like a pep talk for a year coming up.
Yeah, it was... Yeah, it's kind of about... It's the opposite of giving up. It's kind of about letting go of everything, abandoning everything for a search for relevance. You know, trying... There's some... It sounds, on your first listen, it might sound unequivocally positive. And for the most part, that's kind of how we were feeling.
Break, break, breaking free, no gravity.
But part of the inspiration was for that song was the Challenger explosion. It's something that Matthew and I have kind of been obsessed with for a while. This idea of Go Fever, where it was part of what they attributed the errors of the Challenger explosion to, this kind of idea of it's most important to get the project started and get the project going than it was to, you know, meticulously check off these boxes. And there's something, obviously it's very sad, and it was sad, and there's tragic qualities to it, but something beautiful as well about kind of relinquishing control in this effort to find relevance for yourself or for humanity, or in that case, or for us, for making music and feeling good about what we do.
Like, you're comparing that to letting go, and just, if you're an astronaut, saying like, I'm going to put myself in this craft, and like, in the name of exploration, just have no idea what could happen. Just,
yeah, like, basically to ignore the risks, almost, you know, or at least after you acknowledge them, to put them aside. Because I think part of us being together now, we've been together for 10 years, so part of what we've found making this record is that the relationships of people are so important, and feeling like we can do new things together, even though we've known each other for so long, just feels really good. The things that, like, I sang, I feel like some of the best vocal takes of my career are on this record, and to know that I can still do that in my 30s is really, it's just an exciting, amazing feeling. So in that way, like, almost, I had these feelings, like, when working with Rostam in particular for Water and Need Your Light, like, I just almost shredding my vocal cords just to reach these notes, and but really feeling like, when I got there, it was, that's what made the connection for us, and for, I hope, when people listen to it, just, you know, trying to go as far as you can into this emotion you're feeling, or into the performance itself. So,
yeah, what song was it where you pushed your vocals that much?
Well, there's a lot of this. It's funny because I didn't go into this record thinking like, oh, I'm going to make it the most challenging. I kind of thought it wouldn't be as challenging as Beta Love. But I think the emotions and the relationships that grew for this record kind of pushed me in that direction. It's like much more challenging than any of the other records to sing, particularly Water and, most of all, Need Your Light. I Need Your Light, sorry. There's a note that Rostam just insisted on me singing a certain way, and it was a thing, you know, it was like, I don't know if I can do this, but I'm just gonna go for it. And it's funny because on the record there's still some takes that made it through the whole process that were like first take. Oh, this is, I'm gonna try it this way, and then I did it, and he was like, oh, this is perfect, we don't need to do it again. So that was surprising to feel that way, but also liberating and empowering, and just kind of beautiful. So
yeah, I'm picturing like training with Rocky in the gym in the new movie or something.
Yeah, it's, except the training was the actual moment. You know,
yeah.
The actual, it was the culmination as well, strangely. It would be like Rocky getting into the ring in the beginning of the movie and winning and then feeling great.
So yeah.
Not much was working against me those few days, so that was lucky.
So Rostam is really demanding in the studio, huh?
Yeah, I think it's hard to say. It's hard to explain any relationship with a producer because I'm sure they take different roles with different people they work with. But he's definitely someone that knows very quickly what he wants to get out of the artist that he's working with. And for me, the fact that I have so much trust for him is the combination of those two things is really kind of exactly what you want in a producer, someone that you can cede control to without ceding a concept or quality or something, you know. So that's something that it really comes through, I think, in the times that we work together.
Yeah, and I'm guessing that this studio relationship is grounded foremost in a friendship, because when you knew him before and did Discovery together, it was more friends then.
Yeah, for sure. And when we first started writing these two songs for this record, we kind of just were like, hey, I got some time around here. Do you want to write a little bit? And we didn't really have a particular project in mind. It was just like, hey, let's make some songs that are going to be fun. And so it definitely felt like just kind of hanging out and making music, which is always what you want. It's not always what you get, but when you do, it's pretty special.
Yeah, and this was Water, and there were some others?
This is Water, the first track, and I Need Your Light, the title track.
Yeah, let's drop in Water. How did you first get to know Rostam?
I actually met Rostam through Ezra, the singer of Vampire Weekend. Ezra and I grew up together in New Jersey, and we were in probably a dozen bands between like middle school and the end of high school. And I guess at some point early in college, I came down to hang out, and Ezra's like, oh, there's this friend of mine I want you to meet that is also a musician, and you guys would probably get along and make good music together. So we did.
There it is.
Yeah.
And was this Montclair where you grew up with him?
Glen Ridge, but yeah,
okay.
Right next door. Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I know Montclair really well. I'm from New Jersey.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where are you from?
Woodbridge.
Oh, okay. Is that like central?
Central, a little bit south of there.
Okay, cool.
It's like kind of near where Rutgers is.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so did you go to shows at like the Wellmont?
The Wellmont, when we were growing up, was a movie theater.
Oh.
So I went to see, I think I saw only like two or three movies there, one of which was Pi, and one of which was the Shadow, that kind of is that Alec Baldwin in The Shadow?
I don't really remember those movies.
Or The Phantom or something. Yeah. But yeah, it wasn't a like a music venue.
Okay, yeah, I can see that, because it does look like this is Going off into very specifics for people listening, but
right,
hopefully some people are still with us.
Yeah.
It's like an old-timey theater that probably started like early 20th century.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
it has
was,
that vibe.
It was a cool, weird, kind of busted old place, but But yeah, then we played there with Vampire Weekend, which was a lot of fun.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was like, that was maybe 2011 or something. I think we opened for them there. So that was really fun.
Yeah, so going back, like, where did your interests in music start? And it was so, like, you were friends with Ezra, you were in lots of bands.
Yeah.
From family or something in town. Like, where did this start for you?
My family are all musicians. It is all made up of musicians. My parents are singers, not professionally, but they've always done it. And my brother is a bass player and a really, really talented jazz musician. And as the youngest, well, the younger of two, I kind of just like looked up to him, and and the fact that he played music was kind of also encouraging to me. I took piano lessons when I was like really little. I didn't like them, and then I got a drum set when I was in fifth grade, and I loved it. That was like my first instrument, and then I got a saxophone shortly thereafter, and then I think that's probably when Ezra and I started making music together, like in my basement. We had an old ADAT recorder, which is like, well, first we had a reel-to-reel, but, and this is like pre-Pro Tools, but we had a reel-to-reel four-track, and we used that a little bit, but then we moved to an ADAT, which is like you buy like a VHS cassette and stick it into this thing, this like big VCR looking thing. And, you know, it's all about like a time counter. There's no, you know, there's no waveform or anything, obviously. So we spent many, many hours in high school. Just basically any free moment we'd be making music. And I think probably in that time in high school, I probably learned more from Ezra than I did from any other musical influence, individually. So that was like my formative experience as a musician.
Yeah, were you in like a goofy hip hop project with him?
Yeah, he rapped in this band, this sort of band, I guess, like, yeah, band / hip hop group. We're called Groove Prophecy.
Oh wow, that sounds like very conscious hip hop. That makes me think of.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to remember if they're like. It was mostly like covers of
Tribe covers.
Yeah, I think it was like a Tribe song, and like we did Bombs Over Baghdad, and we did I forget what we did. It's so long ago now, but it was a couple other random like 90s hip hop songs that we covered.
Yeah.
But I didn't rap. Ezra rapped, but I just kind of played saxophone or drums or something. But we would, in Montclair, there was this old diner that we would kind of set up outside of on like the street corner, and we would play shows on weekend nights. And just kind of like on the street for anyone to drop by, and it kind of turned into this big thing that we did. A lot of people would come by or hear about it and make a night of it. And that's like really fun. That's the kind of show that is hard to make consistently fun, mm-hmm. but. It was in that time, and you know, we were super young, we were still in high school, so kind of anything like that is exciting. But that was, yeah, it was a big part of my free time Yeah. In school. Yeah.
So I guess to tie it back in, we could really say that through the collaboration with Rostam, this Rah Rah Ride album, the new one coming out, is very tied to just your whole life in some ways. Just yeah. going back and music.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of things that actually, like Foreign Lovers, which just came out today, that originally came from a song that I started writing before Rah Rah Ride existed. So there's things that are, and working with Rostam, who I've known for a long time, and Ryan, who worked on our first record, but then also Dennis, who we wrote with and produced our last record. It does kind of span the whole timeline of, certainly of Rah Rah Riot and of me personally too. So it's cool to see that, to feel that, like, that it's not just like going back and trying to make our first record again, which we would never want to do and would be a disaster probably. But it feels like part of that, but also, you know, with one eye looking forward to. So
yeah. So is this sort of a conscious feeling of, wow, with this next album, I really don't want it to sound like something we did before?
I think that was like a conscious, well, clearly it was a conscious choice for Beta Love that kind of came out of left field for most people. And we knew that at the time that would be a risk, that people would hear it and be like, oh, this doesn't sound like Rah Rah Riot. Why would I want to listen to them anymore? But
hopefully they didn't say that. That's like a very harsh critic.
I think there were a few. There were a few people that were very, very
it's like,
upset.
Give me lots of strings, yeah. or I'm out.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you read too much on the internet, you'll find whatever you want. You'll find whatever you don't want to find. But I think because of that, and because of the way that connected with people and didn't connect with people, this record was much more natural feeling. In that way, like, we basically had destroyed everything that Rah Rah Riot stood for after Beta Love. For better or worse, I think there are a lot of good things that came out of it, but one of which was that we had this freedom now, making Need Your Light, to do whatever we wanted, take the time to explore these songs and have four different producers involved, and that's what we wanted, and write with a few different people and not let it be done until it was done, and we felt like really great about it. So that was the liberation that we felt after Beta Love to make this record.
Yeah. And what we were starting to touch on there with sort of this twist with the band, maybe with Beta Love, it seems like your songwriting went from more what I would call just folky or more rock oriented songwriting, mm-hmm. to songwriting that has more to do with like alt pop, you could say, or just music that you would dance to.
Sure. Yeah, I think Beta Love was like really kind of focused on the pop idea, you know, an alternative idea of pop music, but I think for this record we wanted to cast a wider net. You know, the concept of Beta Love was so strong and really connected with the people that it did in a deep way, but there's a lot of people that it didn't really speak to, so I think we wanted to cast a wider net and tell stories that would connect to more people more broadly and maybe had more room for interpretation and less specific references to like technology or whatever. But that was, in a way, that's kind of a bigger challenge, to make something that's more broadly relevant. So that was the challenge that we set out on making Need Your Light, and we are very excited to have it come out soon. to see if we succeeded, and I think we may have.
Yeah, and another thing with the band is they've been with Barsuk, the label, for their entire album existence, at least.
Yeah.
Basically, as long as most fans have probably been aware of the band.
Yeah.
So that probably gives you a lot of stability. Like, what's that like, just being with the same crew the whole time?
Yeah, that's kind of a similar feeling to, you know, on the other side of the table, as it were. It's a similar feeling to the, you know, growing relationships with people you trust, either whether it be producers or other writers or the label. And that's been a great relationship. And we, I think there's always temptations to be like, oh, you see a major label band that can spend all sorts of money on certain promo or campaigns and things like that. But for us, it's also really important for us to be involved with a label that's actually invested more than just financially in our record and in our band. Mm. You know, they've been with us from the beginning, and we're friends with the people that work there, and they care about our band doing well, and they have confidence in us, and they have opinions on things, and they're not always the same, but that's, as long as, you know, again, as long as you trust the people that you have around you, then you're going to be in good shape.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yeah. What is... I'm trying to think. Are there other artists who have been with the label since you guys have been there?
I don't know. I think... I think Nodasurf has been
there
for the whole time that we have. I think Menomina may have also.
And also it seems like, because like even for them, Death Cab is like a legacy artist now. They still do things with them. So probably even like once artists move on, you're still sort of in the same, you know, pool of friends who do stuff.
Yeah, it is a kind of familial relationship. You know, you don't sign a different contract and then you're out of the life forever. And that's a good thing about being with an independent label. So, you know, the relationships that you have, I guess not that you can't have that from a major label, but more often it feels the personal relationships grow with the working relationship.
Yeah. And, like, not with every major, but I think with a lot of majors, when they sign, like, indie or alternative artists, it's like if the first album or single or whatever doesn't really hit, you're just sort of more of an afterthought. And it's just all at once, all in, and if not, eh.
Yeah. Yeah, that can be obviously great for some people when it works, but I think that's too much pressure. And maybe not a great... maybe not overall a great business model.
Yeah, that's another discussion entirely.
Yeah. But yeah, we don't need to get into that.
Yeah, so you sung the national anthem at the Barclays Center at a Rangers Islanders game. That's hockey for people listening. That's really neat. Tell me about that.
That was really, really fun. As a third anthem that I've done, I did one for the New Jersey Devils, my home team, and I did one for the Patriots. Sorry, all the Patriots haters out there, but
so a Patriots game.
Yeah.
Wow.
On Christmas Eve, like three, four years ago or something.
It's like three times as many people who would be at a hockey arena for a game.
Yeah, exactly. And it was pretty intimidating, especially because we walked out across the field at, you know, Gillette Stadium. I actually don't really have a football team, so I didn't really mind being at Patriots Stadium. It was kind of cool. But and one, I don't remember who it was, but some enormous wide receiver almost just like laid out my parents right in front of me because we were told to walk through the warm-ups. And as they were going on, because, you know, you're out there from the beginning of the game, and so are the players. So it was very strange, and I really don't remember who it was. Maybe it was like Gronkowski or something. Somebody enormous, because they just kind of look like a giant walking by. But the hockey game more recently was also amazing because the Islanders and Rangers have a crazy intense rivalry. And as I was singing, you know, I was singing by myself, so there's no accompaniment. Whenever I got to a low part or I was taking a breath, this kind of crowd noise would start to bubble up. And I then realized that it was like booing. There's this booing going on while I was singing, which was super distracting. But so as I'm singing, I only had about 90 seconds to do it, but I was like, what are they doing? They can't be booing the anthem. Like, that's weird. No one would be booing the anthem. I don't think that they're booing me because I feel like pretty good about how I'm singing right now. But I wasn't sure what was going on. So then certain parts of the crowd would start booing after the other parts of the crowd. And it kind of just seemed like maybe they were booing the people that were booing. So then I would just kind of rush through these parts and I just sing louder. So then they would quiet down. But I almost started laughing at the end of it because it was just such an absurd experience, like singing the national anthem at a hockey game and then there's all these people booing while you're doing it. It was very strange. But at the end, it kind of became apparent that they were just getting excited and, you know, because they each hate each other's teams, they were booing each other's teams and not the anthem, at least so I thought, but think. But it was very... very funny to hear that while I was singing, but a fun night anyway.
Yeah, on the video that's posted online, it's more ice level, and what you can just hear is people yelling "Rangers suck," or maybe it's "Go Rangers."
Okay, yeah, probably just, both of those things. Yeah,
and that's just one voice ice level. Okay. It's just like some loud person who happens to be by the camera.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it was so loud. It was the loudest. I mean, it was louder than the Patriots game because it was full at the beginning. But very, very different experience.
So I've never been to a Barclays Center Islanders home game, but it sounds like they do have a good vibe there.
The
crowd was packed.
Yeah, it was really fun. I think there's been a lot of fuss about some of the seats. There's like an obstructed view for some section, but where we were and where all my friends ended up, they saw fine. It was cool. It was like amazing vibe, and they put me on the Jumbotron, which was pretty exciting. A little embarrassing, but fun. And yeah, we had a great time.
How does someone get involved with doing anthems?
I honestly don't know. There was just the first one that I did, there was just a guy who booked the anthems that was kind of a fan of the band.
Oh, wow.
So he was just like, hey, do you want to come do an anthem? And I was like, okay, I would love to. The first time it was like super nerve-wracking because being a fan of that team, the New Jersey Devils, I was like, you know, I just was excited to be on the ice with Marty Brodeur and right in front of him. And then I sang it and it went really well. And then by the time I got back to my seat, it was only a minute and a half gone in the game and he had already given up 2 goals. So I was like, wow, it must have really distracted him or something. But then I think that same guy moved to the Patriots and asked me again.
Oh, okay.
So that's how I got that one. And then the Islanders thing, I think I might have been their second choice, but I think they were looking for someone else who was busy from our management. But I was like, hey, I'll do it. I don't care.
So yeah, that's the show. Hope you enjoyed hearing me chat with Wes. Rah Rah Riot's album, as Wes said and as we said, comes out February 19th. I like it a lot. That's why I had him on the show. So I hope you check it out. And yeah, I hope you keep up with the podcast. If this was your first episode you ever listened to, I urge you to check out the archives. I sit at the top of the show. Subscribe to the podcast, give us a star rating on iTunes, all of that. I won't go into detail, but it's just super, super helpful for everything that we do here with the podcast on billboard.com. I love doing it. It's every Friday afternoon, a new episode comes out. Can't really jump the gun and say what I have coming up next, but I will say I have some artists on the podcast who have me very, very, very excited to share them with you, to chat with these people. There are good, exciting things ahead. So yeah. Alton Our Stars will be back next Friday at 12 noon on billboard.com. Until then, have a good weekend, everybody. Peace out.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.